We're talking to Chris Sandy this morning. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Now, Chris, Enduring Regret, that is the name of your book, and enduring is such a powerful word and the most accurate word, I would imagine, after your actions caused the death of two innocent people. Can you take us back to the night that you made the decision that changed your life forever?
Yes, unfortunately, it was on April 11th of 2000. I was 22 years old and thought I had life all figured out and thought I knew what my limitations were. And I unfortunately made a really bad choice to go to a party and have some drinks with some friends. And I made another choice to get in my car to drive to another party. And while I was traveling to the next party, I caused a horrific car crash that killed two innocent people. And it was a horrific night for everybody. I can just tell you that I was driving on a country road and there was a car in front of me and I was in this hurry to get to this other party and my friend Jesse and I were cutting up and laughing in the car. And I remember it so vividly. I was flying down this road. I drove up behind a white minivan. Then I went to pass the white minivan and I saw an oncoming car. So I started to get back over to my lane. And the oncoming car tried to turn across the road to pull into a driveway. And when they did, it happened so fast, I could not stop. And I plowed into the rear passenger door, literally cutting the car in half. And as I mentioned, it killed both the people in the other car. And my friend Jesse, who was in the passenger seat of my car, put his seatbelt on at the last second, and it saved his life. And we're still friends to this day, but it was a very hard and difficult night for everyone. And I ended up getting sentenced to go to prison for about 8.5 years, 3,117 days. And during that time, I had obviously a lot of time to reflect on my own life and what I had done and how I was going to handle it going forward. I know that after I caused this crash, I didn't want to live anymore. I didn't feel like there was anything worth living for because of what I had done. And so it took a lot of transformation and a lot of support and help for me to see that there could be any future. And during this time I had decided to try to create a message for young people, teenagers especially, something that they could learn from my experience, that they could see it from a different point of view. Instead of hearing about statistics and you know, what they typically teach young people about drivers, you know, being safe on the road, but sharing a real life experience that was it's very difficult to share, but I do feel like it's very important and I'm very passionate about what I share because it's not all about prison. It's not about all the consequences. It's about life and how you deal with it.
And living.
And, you know,
with
I feel
that.
Like that's right. And I titled the book Enduring Regret because that speaks volumes in itself that I can't go back in my past and fix what I did. So I'm going to have to learn to live with that. And it's going to be a regret. There's nothing I can do to change it. All I know is that I have to find ways to move forward in life.
Chris,
this has happened.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No doubt you knew in that moment that your life had changed forever. But I'm interested also. I mean, there's so many things to this story to unpick. But what over the years, or the short term, and then into the years, was the reaction from your family, and indeed from the family of those people that had passed away? Were you surprised by some of the reactions you got?
That's a great question. I can speak for my family. My mom and dad had been married for 30 years. And when I caused this crash, my parents divorced. They felt like they failed as parents and they had done nothing wrong. It was my choice, but it was a hard thing for all the family to bear. My little sister, she was 5 years younger than me. She was devastated that she lost her big brother. They supported me through the entire process and while I was in prison, but it was very hard and very hard for them to go through. I mean, they went through probably as much as I did just because of my own actions.
Yeah.
And so I try to really emphasize that on the message that I deliver to students. Cause I do travel around the United States sharing my story with the victim's family, I can't really speak for them. All I can tell you is that they have come out and listened to me speak. I have met several of the family members, and I've heard from what they've gone through.
Mm.
And they did tell me they could never forgive me for what I did, but they would support me doing what I'm doing now with my life.
Mm.
So that was a lot whenever they came out and they would kind of, I didn't get to meet with them in a private space. It was in a public space where they came and listened to me speak and wanted to hear what I was saying and making sure the information was accurate and making sure that they agreed with what I was sharing, and they did. So yeah, that really speaks a lot.
Sure. Yeah.
Chris, there are two things, you know, in particular that, I mean, I can only imagine and hope to Christ never have to live through something like this, but can only imagine that at some point you have to face again outside of, you know, coming across the family. And that mm-hmm. is the two things that led to this moment, which were drinking and driving. And mm-hmm. have you had a drink since, and you surely have gotten behind the wheel of a car since. Can you tell us what it was like to do both of those things after something like this happened to you?
You know, it's a difficult question for the fact that after I had caused the crash, I really didn't want to be around anymore. So I did drink. I did do a lot of dumb things because I knew I was going to prison, which I was terrified of. So I didn't handle it very well. Then getting out of prison, I had to kind of turn a new leaf in my life and set my priorities right. So the drinking thing, not opposed to it. I have plenty of friends that do it. We live out by a lake and, you know, they love going out. But for me, I'm kind of the designated driver and I handle the situation a lot differently. And then as far as driving, I never thought that I would get to drive again. And luckily, because of some of the things that I've done since I got released from prison, some of the positive stuff and following the rules that I was supposed to follow, the victim's family and the court system did grant me my license back about 5 years later. So that was a scary situation to get into a car to drive after all this transpired.
Mm-hmm.
But it is one of those things in life that we really need to be able to drive a vehicle to get to point A to point B. I mean,
Chris, in this, you know, in this series where we're asking what's it like, and, you know, certainly can't really summarize what's it like to be responsible for taking someone's life. It's such a massive thing for you and what's happened in your life now. But what point did you get to where you started to enjoy your life? Was there moments where, and have you even reached that? Have you been able to go, I have to forgive myself enough to be able to live my life?
So that's a challenge all the time. I mean, I'm married now and I have two wonderful kids. They're 10 and 11 years old, and they certainly bring me lots of joy. But there are many difficult moments of where, how do you forgive yourself for something like this?
Mm.
You know, clearly it wasn't something that was done intentionally, but it's something that, you know, you could have prevented.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think in human nature, we all know what's right and wrong, but sometimes we decide to do things that we feel like we can do, even though we know we shouldn't be doing it.
Yes.
And so living with that is very hard, but there are moments, very, very good moments that are happy and enjoyable, and you do have to find that happiness. That's one of the things I talk about a lot, is that everyone has to find happiness. So for me, going out fishing or doing something like that kind of brings me back the joy that I need, but I do struggle with it. It's not something, you know, this is 22 years later.
Yeah.
And it still haunts me to this day, and it always will, just because I wish I could go back and fix it, but I can't.
And these are the really highlights that for me, that you know, the sliding doors moments of all of our lives, all of us, I'm sure, if we're honest with ourselves, can look at this situation and similar ones and think, there but for the grace of God went I. You know, we've all put ourselves mm-hmm. in situations where, you know, if things had gone differently, we could have been in your situation. And I find through my own struggles with various things that I think I'm more sympathetic to people in your situation because I understand that it could have been me doing that sort of thing, mm-hmm. you know?
Chris, can I ask, did you do anything for yourself personally for the victims, you know, as a symbol or a gesture, as a peacemaking kind of exercise for them?
So there really wasn't anything I could do. It was a peacemaking exercise, but something that the family did request through the courts was that, and they asked it, you know, for me to agree to the terms, is that every year I go back to the crash site. They have two white crosses at the end of a driveway, at the driveway they were pulling into, and I'm required to go there and put a flower memorial. Now, that is something that I will continue to do for me, for as long as I live. I don't live far from where the crash scene is or was, and but I only go there on April 11th. So it's every year, April 11th, I go back to the same scene and place that flower memorial.
Wow.
Wow.
Extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. Just to be able to, well, to be able to continue on, I just imagine that there'd be so many moments in your life where you're just doing something and going, I don't deserve this opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. That's speaking the truth right there, because it's hard to accept happiness when you feel so torn about what has happened and transpired in your life. But I do know through some of the things that I've been through, that I have to find that happiness to make my own family happy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
So I have another responsibility that I have to upkeep, and it means maintaining my own mental health and trying to take care of myself through this process. And this is going to be a long journey. It's not something that doesn't go away,
no.
But something that I have to learn to cope with.
Well, we commend you for the efforts that you make too with the youth and educating other people and the honesty and the candid nature in which you share your story, because, you know, that is a way that you can turn it around. And I mean, personally, I don't believe people should be damned for mistakes that they've made for the entirety of their lives. And I think turning it around in this way and giving those positive things and hopefully changing the lives of others is the way you make good on that. So we wish you all the best, Chris.
Well, thank you very much. And that's one of the things that brings me so much hope and drives me, is every time I go out or someone reads the book or I go out and speak to some students or I get to work one-on-one with someone that's going through a hard situation and can provide them some type of light to help them get through what they're facing, that definitely helps. So yeah. I appreciate you having me on the show and getting my message out there. And I do hope that everyone will be safe. Please just don't drink and drive and remember how important your family and friends are.
Yeah. Bless you, mate. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate your time and your honesty,
Thank
mate.
You.
Cheers.
You have a good day, okay?
Thank you. You too. Bye. All the best.